forecast powered by Cool Today. We're proudly celebrating 50 years of keeping our community cool and helping our customers get the best from today. Call 1-855-GET-COOL.
The weather is brought to you by MyFWC.com. Life jackets save lives. Wear it, Florida. Times of clouds and sun today with a shower or thunderstorm in spots during the afternoon hours, high 88 to 92. Then partly cloudy tonight, low 71 to 75. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a shower or thunderstorm in spots in the afternoon, high 89 to 93. For Sunday, mostly cloudy with a shower or thunderstorm around, high 87 to 91. From the Florida Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Joe Lundberg.
This traffic report is brought to you by Leaders Casual Furniture.
The salty air and blistering sun has some homeowners having to replace their patio furniture.
Don't do it.
Get rust-proof, high-quality outdoor furniture the first time at Leaders Casual Furniture. 19 locations. Find one at leadersfurniture.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. This is a live medical talk show in which you're invited to participate. If you have a question or comment along the way, just call us at 941-206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. And now, here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Thank you. Thank you, Zane. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I am so excited today. I have two guests. This is just so much fun for me. I love learning, meeting people. As everybody knows, I'm not shy. Anyways, I have today with me Dr. Skip Valenti and Jen from the Southwest Florida Pain Center. And Dr. Valenti is an interventional pain specialist. So I want to welcome him to the program and Jen. And do you think we're going to have to get Noah's Ark if it rains anymore?
Maybe. I don't know. I think he has a boat. It's fine. I'll just take his.
I can paddle around. I'm okay with that.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. So, Dr. Valenti, I want to start with you, and I know Jen works in public relations for the Interventional Pain Center, and Dr. Valenti is there with Dr. Ball. So, Dr. Valenti, welcome.
Good morning. Welcome, Betsy. How are you?
Very good. Very good. So, I wanted you to tell us, where are you all located?
Well, we have two offices, our main offices on Cochran Boulevard, right across from Kohl's Department Store.
Okay.
And then we also have a convenient location in Punta Gorda, which is on Olympia.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Valenti, you're an interventional pain specialist. Could you explain to us what that is?
Sure, Dr. Triana. Basically, interventional pain management procedures that are done to keep patients off of large doses of narcotic and to decrease their pain and increase their quality of life. They're mostly procedures that we do in our office. We do go to the surgery centers and the hospitals also, but most of these procedures can be carried out in our office.
Your office is a surgery center, right?
So we are one of the only state-certified office surgery centers in Charlotte County. And we do have two operating rooms in the office that we do most of our work in.
Wonderful.
We like to call them suites. They're adorned with artwork. We really make it comfortable for the patients. They're not coming in there and it's not stark. It's not white. It's very comforting, soothing. So we really kind of go that extra mile to make sure that we're taking these pain patients and we're making them comfortable and we're, you know, addressing their problems and their needs.
I think that's the biggest thing, the quality of life, because we all know when we're in pain, you know, we can get moody, grumpy. Mm-hmm. It just affects our whole, makes people more depressed. So the
and
quality
it affects
of,
the people around them as
yes,
well.
It's the whole family and everything. So you're, what led you to become a pain specialist?
Well, I initially started in doing general surgery. And decided that I wanted to do a little bit more. You know, the world does not need another general surgeon. So I went back and I did an anesthesia residency and then a year of specialization after that. And when I trained and did my surgical residency at NYU and then my medical, my anesthesia residency at New York Medical College. At that time, New York Medical College was one of five universities in the country that had a pain program. And it was a dedicated pain program with its own department. And when I initially started, it was very useful for me to have my background in surgery blend with what I knew anatomically and surgical technique-wise to go into interventional pain management. So they blended very well together in a specialty that was just starting. At that time, as I said, there were only five programs in the United States that had interventional pain management.
Wow, that's really great. It's like the beginning of, in this country, you're like a pioneer.
The people that I trained with are some of the most well-known and regarded people in the country, absolutely.
That's really great.
And we have that here in Charlotte County. It's pretty remarkable.
That is really great. That's really great. And this was in New York, and you're originally from New York?
I am originally from New York. I was born in Manhattan and lived there most of my life.
Oh, wow. I was born in Manhattan, too. But I came here when I was a little girl to Charlotte County.
Well, I know that you were one of the only people in town that actually grew up here and came back to practice.
Right. I'm the first one. That's why I tell my patients, yes, that's why I'm older than 21.
And I think you may be the only woman from the county that practices here. I know there are a few male doctors that grew up here and came back to practice, but I think you're the only woman.
No, there's other women, but they're younger than me, so I can claim to be the first. So there's other women who grew up here, and, you know, I feel like we're very blessed to live here. This is such a gorgeous place. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you all feel. It's just wonderful here.
Well, I loved it. I came here in 1988, and coming from downtown Manhattan, coming here was quite a culture shock, and I really loved it. It was great for my family. It was wonderful for my kids. The only thing that I ever had a problem with was the food when I first came
here. I was just going to say that.
And living downtown Manhattan between Little Italy and Chinatown, I was in for a culture shock as far as food goes. But luckily, as time's gone on, we've done much better here in our town.
Oh, my goodness. New York, if you like they say, if you can't find it in New York, my parents came from Cuba in 1947. And they always say, if you can't find it in New York, it doesn't exist in the world. I mean, everything you find in all the culinary arts, it's so much fun to go there to eat.
And we like to eat. Our office, we like to eat. So it's an important thing, especially me.
But So Jen, what is your role with the pain center?
My role, you know, we're just talking about Charlotte County. I'm just very dedicated and invested into in the people in this community. And what I do is I'm a liaison. I'll go out. I'll set up lectures for the physicians, really to educate them on what interventional pain management is. There's not enough education out there. People associate it with medication, and that's the complete opposite of what we do. We find the source of the problem, and we treat it. We don't mask it with medication. So what I really find is a lot of people, their number one complaint in living a more independent lifestyle, you know, we are definitely the retirement mecca capital here in Charlotte County, is that these people they're in pain, and they want to get on with their lives. They stop doing what they were doing before. And the message really is, well, you need to see an interventionalist, and they will get you back to that place that you were before so you can stay independent and continue to live your life and enjoy this beautiful area that we live in.
I think that's so important as we get older. I know, as on a personal level, my greatest fear is to become disabled or dependent on someone else, whether it be because, you know, I have a center for the prevention of heart attack, stroke, and diabetes. Mm-hmm. And I also help women with menopause and men with andropause. But that fear of having to depend and having such severe pain that you're so debilitated.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful to know that there's a place that you have that you can help patients like this to continue to live their life.
You run into a lot of people that are frustrated because they really They don't know where to go. They don't, you know, they're just, they just feel defeated. And the message really is that there are procedures. There are things that you can do that Dr. Valente and Dr. Ball can do for you that will get you back to your life without heavy medications. And it's amazing. Some of the stories that we hear, I mean, people come back to the office for their follow-up appointment and they're in tears. They're not crying because they're in pain. They're just crying because they're so relieved and just grateful. And that is the best gift. It is.
I know. I have patients that I've sent to you and they're like, oh my goodness, this was just, it's a life changer.
Absolutely.
And I think that on so many levels, as you were saying, it doesn't just affect you. It affects the whole family. Mm-hmm. If you have grandkids, your children, you know, oh, we can't really go talk to mommy or daddy because they're in pain. And, you know, you don't want to talk to them when they're in pain. Well, so, right?
Yes. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about with our patients, it really isn't, you know, how bad is your pain? It's more about, you know, what can you do and what can't you do? And we judge our success not on what their pain level is, but really by what their quality of life and activities of daily living are. We get so many patients that come in and tell me, you know, I haven't been able to play golf for the last 6 months because I have this terrible pain, or I can't pick up my grandchildren, I can't play tennis, I can't do anything I did before. And really, we're looking at that to look for restoration as far as getting them back to doing the things they want. We're not just interested in, are you having pain or are you not having pain? We're interested in restoring that function for them. And it's a very, very important differentiation, because I'm sure that I can give a patient some sort of medication and take away their pain, but they may stand in the corner and drool in their shoe. And we don't want that.
No, we don't want that.
No. So what we're looking for is really restoration of function, quality of life, and activities of daily living to guide us in whether or not we're making progress with the patients.
Well, as one of my mantras has been more good years. You know, it's okay to know that we want more good years, that we can enjoy what we do, that we're able to participate in our activities. So that's very important. Dr. Valente, what is the most common pain complaint?
Low back pain is probably the most common pain complaint that we see.
Really?
Yes. Okay. You know, low back pain is the number two reason that people visit their primary care doctors in the United States, statistically. And we see this all the time. Unfortunately, because of the aging of our population, that becomes a very common complaint. A lot of the patients come in and tell me, you know, when I get up in the morning, my back is very achy. If I go to play golf, I can't take my swing anymore because my back aches. Those patients that haven't had prior back surgery that have those low back complaints, it's usually due to arthritis in the dorsal spine. And there's a lot of different procedures that we do that can help with that, eliminate it, or at least get them back to the point where they can do what they want again without having that pain.
What kind of procedures are those?
There are multiple procedures on the little joints in the low back. We do something that's called radiofrequency rhizotomy, which is basically going in and turning off the nerves that supply the joints in the lower back so that when the joints move, they don't send a signal to the brain that's interpreted as pain. And so that's very, very popular, especially, you know, most of our patients that come to us have come to the area because they want to be more active. They like to get out of the cold. They want to be more active more of the year. They want to be able to do things all around the year. And these type of pains that they have, low back pains, really stop a lot of people from enjoying the things that they've come here for. And so by us being able to go in with this radiofrequency rhizotomy that we do, we're able to turn off the nerves in the back in about 80% of people. And those patients get relief of their back pain, get back to doing what they want.
80%. That's fabulous.
And that's all done in the office. So
I mean, that number is high. Mm-hmm. You know, if you take a statin medication to prevent heart attack and stroke, it really decreases your risk by 30 to 40%. So 80% success, you know, on the flip side, that's very good that you can work and help people like this.
Well, you know, Dr. Triana, one of the things is you're helping people with this 30% of prolonging their life. You know, fortunately, pain is not something that will kill you. It may stop you from doing what you want. It may prevent you from being able to have a good quality of life once again, but it won't kill you. So the fact that we can help with 80% of people is really great. It gets them back to working, but it's not saving their life as you do.
Well, I appreciate that. But if they can walk, we know an exercise, diet, medications, knowing your risk factors are all important. And another thing that I have emphasized, too, is having a good sexual health. We've had a couple of programs on sexual health, and that is something, as a primary care physician, that I ask my patients. And I promote good sexual health. So I could see if you're in terrible pain, that may be the last on your list of things I want to do.
Might be on the first, but who knows?
No, I meant if you're in pain, it might be the last thing on your
list. Absolutely. You know, that's
right?
Funny because,
that's very important.
It's actually funny because every once in a while I have a patient who comes in and tells me, oh, you know, I had relations with my wife for the first time in a long time, or my husband for the first time in a long time. Or one of their complaints may be, you know, I just don't feel well enough to do this. And
right.
Now I do. So once again, you know, that the pain can be such a stress factor that it takes the enjoyment and pleasure out of doing these things. So once we can get people back to feeling better, that may be part of their better health, you know, sexual health.
Yes, it's very important. Sexual health is a part of life and we never need to ignore it. And I say an intimate life should be a forever life, no matter what your age. Or even, you know, if you're not as feeling as good as you should, or you may not be able to be like a 21-year-old, you can still enjoy a good sexual life. You know, obviously that's very important. What led you to become a doctor?
I can tell you that very early in life, probably when I was in grade school, I remember that one of my aunts had a surgical procedure. And I asked my cousin, who was her son, and he was a little bit older than me, what did she have done? And he told me, oh, you wouldn't understand. It's a woman thing. You're not a doctor. And so I remember that from
My goodness. Right. I can't believe that.
So I remember that from very early in life. And that was always really interesting to me. And I really enjoy working with my hands. I like to be challenged. And so as I went along, I became much more interested and decided that medicine was something that, you know, I could learn a lot in, and I didn't have to have someone tell me that you're not a doctor, you don't understand. So for many years, of course, as I pursued medicine, it had always been one of my goals to not have anyone ever tell me again, you don't understand because you're not a doctor.
Well, you know, that's part of the goal here. That's one of our goals, is that people can say, well, geez, I'm not a doctor, I don't understand. But like, we're getting to know, what is an interventional pain specialist? You know, I bet there's a lot of people out there that don't realize that there's a specialty that can make such a difference.
Well, you know,
we're trying.
Right. This specialty has been around for only a short amount of time in the relative history of medicine. And it's becoming a very well-known, very well-respected subspecialty. As time has gone on, the training in this has become more and more sophisticated. Now, Dr. Ball, my partner, trained much more recently than I am because he's a lot younger than I am, and he's been through a very specific fellowship program. And the fellowship programs in the United States, when I first trained, there were none. And recently they've become more and more popular to the point where now they're actually becoming a two-year fellowship after you've done your residency, and they're talking about making it a separate residency entirely.
Wow.
At which point people in the future will come out, just like I did a surgical residency or an anesthesia residency, they'll actually do a residency completely separate from everything else in interventional pain management.
But I think it's really good, as like you said, having that surgical background that actually intervene, you know the anatomy, you know the body parts more than most people. I mean, you were there in the thick of it. And now also the anesthesia, the medications that you use, I think that's a wonderful background that you're able to combine.
Well, it's been very helpful to me in the past. And I think in the future, as we become more and more progressive in what we do, the procedures tend to become a little more invasive. We do spinal cord stimulation for patients that have failed back. And that involves, you know, minor procedures that need to be, you know, addressed as if they were major surgery. And so this really helps. But as time goes on, hopefully this specialty of interventional pain management will be much more looking very much more at the techniques that are used and developing so that you're not an anesthesiologist or you're not a surgeon. I'm registered as an interventional pain management physician,
right,
which has a whole separate number and designation from the federal government than a medical management of pain doctor or an anesthesiologist or a surgeon.
Like you said, you go to the root of the pain.
Right. What we try to do is when the patient comes to our office, we try to figure out what the cause of their pain is and how we can get rid of that pain without putting them on high doses of narcotics or pain medications. You know, that, unfortunately, most of the teaching, 10 years ago was to treat the pain as aggressively as you could with medications. And now we've created a whole culture of people who are on high dose narcotics that have lost their function of everyday living because the medications dull them too much to go on with what they need. So the cycle is reversed. We've realized now that, those medications are probably not a great thing for the patients to be on a long-term basis, and they need to pursue some other course to try to get rid of their pain, which is what we try to provide.
That's very good because, unfortunately, these pain medications have so many side effects.
Right, and we see that all the time. You're talking about sexual health. People who are on high doses of long-term narcotics have a very hard problem with having an enjoyable sex life because of that. It also causes a lot of confusion, especially in our age population here. It can really take someone who's sharp as a tack and make them dull. So those are things that we have to consider when we treat our patients, is how to avoid that. You don't want to take someone who's a brilliant, wonderful person to talk to and turn them into someone that comes into your office and just doesn't have much to say or do.
Yes, and also the pain medications long-term, the constipation, the narcotics, the effects on your mentation.
Not to mention the patient builds a tolerance to these medications. So they're, it's really just a Band-Aid, and it's not something that's really treating the problem. Again, it's just masking it.
Well, I think this is a perfect time to take a little break, but we have so many more questions to ask Dr. Valenti. How do those stimulators work? But we'll take a little break. And everyone, if you have a question, please call us at 206-1580. All right, we'll play our little music there. Okay, Zay?
You're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte. We encourage you to visit their new website, which is TrianaPreventionCenter.com. That's TRIANA Prevention Center, all one word, .com. To catch up on previous shows, there's an archive going back to the beginning of the show covering a wide variety of topics. Dr. Triana is accepting new patients currently, and we'll ask the doctor to give her phone number out in a little bit. In the meantime, if you'd like to call this program, our numbers are 941-206-1188 and toll-free at 888-441-1580. And now back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Okay, now we're back, and welcome, everyone. If you're just tuning in, I want to welcome you. We have two great guests. We have Dr. Skip Valenti, who is an interventional pain management specialist, and the Jen, who is his public relations for the center. And Jen, I know you all are on Facebook. Tell us about that.
Well, we're just trying to, get up with the ages. I think everybody's utilizing social media, but we try to use our Facebook page as a catalyst for education. I'm huge in education, and this is a way to even humanize our physicians. A lot of people think that, sometimes we're dry or, the office is very, boring, but we have a lot of fun. So it's nice to post pictures of just the staff enjoying ourselves. I mean, you got to understand, we see pain patients every single day.
Yes.
So we, our goal is, from start to finish to make sure that they're enjoying themselves. And Facebook is just kind of another venue to kind of do that and promote the practice and also to educate the community. So that's a lot of fun.
That's great. I know. I'm learning to do Facebook too, and it's fun. And
now we're
pictures.
Friends.
Yes, and now we're friends, and we're going to put a picture of us up on our Facebook page and everything. Mm-hmm. It's fun to put the guests on. And a lot of the patients do look at it.
They do. They do.
But and I'm hearing, too, that patients are enjoying the show. Many people are kind of shy, and they may not want to ask a question. So is there a way that if they, like for me, I have Ask Dr. Triana at TrianaPreventionCenter.com, and I also have MyMenopauseDoctor.com. So do you have a way to get a hold of you all?
Well, of course, you can always call the office, but Facebook is something that we're utilizing in order to answer any questions. Again, you know, if there are questions that, you know, we can't, we want you coming into the office. But we do lectures all the time. These both Dr. Valente and Dr. Ball are very active in the community, and they're constantly getting out into the community and doing a lecture at least once a month.
So, wonderful.
You know, we'll put those on our website, or put flyers out, or put them on the chamber's website. But you know,
what is your website?
The website is painmanagement.org, and it does have the ability to ask questions that way as well.
Wonderful.
But again, I mean, it's nice to have, you know, physicians right out in the community, so you can have that one-on-one interaction within a group when they're giving one of their lectures. And it's very, we keep it very open. We keep it very, you know, just relaxed, laid back. It's not just the doctors up there talking. We wanna hear what's going on and answer those questions. So it's wonderful that they take time out of their schedules to give back to the community and get out there. So
I think that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we enjoy going out and educating the public on what we do. There's a lot of misconceptions about what we do. There's a lot of misunderstanding, not only amongst the patients, but even amongst the doctors in the community.
Right.
So it's nice to go out and be able to talk with patients. It's nice to have a one-to-one conversation with them with these lectures that we go to, because they can ask their questions without feeling like they have to come to the doctor's office to ask something that they might, you know, not want to do that. Sometimes patients have questions about whether or not they could even come to the office. So, you know, if they can come to the lecture series, they're able to talk with Dr. Ball or myself, answer questions about their problems and whether or not there's anything we can do to help them.
We have a lot of groupies that actually show up. We have a lot of we have a lot of their patients that are just very dedicated to these two physicians, and they will show up just for testimonial purposes alone. So it's pretty amazing.
That must make you feel so good.
It does.
You know,
it's you know, obviously we went into this to help people. We feel good about it when we can help people. You know, once I can see a patient and they appreciate what we've done for them, it's good. That's why we're in medicine, is for that feeling of, you know you've done something to help somebody. You've improved their life. You let them get on with what they want to do. So it's a good feeling.
It's such a beautiful feeling. I really feel that we are blessed, and we're blessed to get to do what we wanted to do since we were little kids. I always say that. So if anybody, you know, it's really nice that we have guests here. So if you want to ask Dr. Valente, we're at 206-1580. That's really great. You know, going out in the community, again, as you say, when people see you, they start forming relationships. Mm-hmm. And I always feel it's also about relationships. They meet you, they see what a nice person you are, and then that begins the bonding, the trusting. Mm-hmm. And you meet somebody, then you go to them, and you tell them what are their options for their problems. I think that is part of the blessings that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So what you were talking about, the stimulator.
A radio frequency rhizotomy.
No, the stimulator.
Oh, the spinal cord stimulation.
Well, how does that work?
Well, to make it a very simple way of understanding what this does, dorsal column stimulation is used for multiple different things. In Europe, its most frequent application is actually for unstable angina to block pain. Here in the United States, we use it very little for that. Most of the time, this is used for people who have chronic debilitating pain. Our biggest population for that are people who have failed back, people who've had multiple surgeries in their back, continue to have pain that's debilitating, challenges their ability to go on with life. For those patients, we try some dorsal column stimulation. The way to think about it, for everyone to understand it, is if I kick you in the shin right now, you're going to go, ow.
That's right.
That's right. So
wait a minute. My horse stepped on my foot the other day.
And I'm sure you said ow.
And
besides other things.
Buster weighs 1,000 pounds.
Besides other things. So if I kick you in the shin right now and you go, ow, the simplistic way of thinking about it is that there's an electronic signal that travels along the nerves. It travels up your leg into the dorsal column of the spine to your brain. This electrical signal in your brain is interpreted as pain. So you know that electrical signal is pain. So what we do is we implant little tiny electrodes over the posterior dorsal column of the spine and send a current through it. That current changes the electrical signal that goes to your brain. So instead of your brain recognizing the signal as pain, it now recognizes it as something else. Most people feel either a mild tingling, a mild buzzing, something that's not an unpleasant feeling. As a matter of fact, a lot of people really love the feeling. So
Really? What
they're able to do is cover the areas of their body where they would usually have pain with a pleasant sensation. So it's a great technology. It's become very, very sophisticated over the course of my 20-something years in practice. The mechanisms that we use now are very sophisticated. They're very programmable. We can pinpoint different areas in your body using them. So it's a great technology. It's not for everyone. There are certain things that prohibit us from using it, but the vast majority of patients usually don't have any contraindications to it. So we do a lot of this. We use a company called Boston Scientific. They're very supportive of us. Their equipment is spectacular. We use other companies also, but mostly this company. And our results in our patients are really very, very impressive. When I see a patient come in the office dancing down the hall and telling me they couldn't move before.
It's amazing.
It's very rewarding to see that in patients.
I actually had the honor of having dinner with one of the co-founders of Boston Scientific.
Very great company.
Very nice.
Very patient oriented.
Yes, very. So in other words, you're changing, for everyone out there to understand, you're changing the message so that the person perceives a change.
Correct.
But if he kicks you in the shin, you're still going to feel it. The way that they place the electrodes, it's just to target the area of the chronic pain. So if you burn your finger or, you know, get kicked in the shin or stepped on by your horse, you're still going to feel it.
Right. This is a very specific technology. So patients that have lower extremity pain, you know, we can target one lower extremity. We can target a foot. We can target a knee. We can target the lower back. It doesn't affect the rest of your body. We just go to that one site. And the sensations that we're blocking, you still have feeling in those areas. You still have normal sensation in those areas. We're just changing the impulse that's interpreted as pain.
That is wonderful. That is really great. What other procedures do you do then?
We do radio frequency rhizotomy, as I said, very frequently in this age population that we have here. Low back pain, very significant. Neck pain.
Neck pain.
You know, the etiology in our age population here really goes back towards arthritis in the spine. And, you know, usually if the patient isn't comfortable, if they can't take an NSAID or they're not comfortable with some of the anti-inflammatory agents, they continue to have pain despite physical therapy, despite other types of treatments, the injections work very well. We can go in and inject the little joints in the neck and put a little tiny drop of local anesthetic over the nerves that supply those joints. And if their pain goes away and they get excellent relief with this local injection, then they're a good candidate to go in and try to turn those little nerves off. They can't come into the office every day for an injection of local anesthetic to make their pain go away. So we have to figure out ways of trying to give them prolonged relief.
Right.
There's been multiple techniques in the past where we go in and try to freeze the nerve. This technique of radiofrequency lesioning is called a rhizotomy. And basically what it means is that we're turning off the little nerve that supplies the joint and thereby stopping your brain from knowing that you have pain there. Now, it doesn't stop your function, doesn't change your function, it actually improves it. Patients who have dorsal arthritis in their spine, if they're in the neck, they have a hard time looking over their shoulder to drive their car. A lot of times they have to turn their whole body to see over their shoulder. Some people can't drive because of it. This pain responds very well to these injections and these procedures. So what we do with those patients is if they have a good response to a local anesthetic that's deposited over the nerve and their pain goes away, as I said, they can't come in tomorrow to get another injection of local anesthetic.
Right.
So to give them some sort of long-term relief, what we do is we place a needle back into the position where those little nerves are. We do electronic testing to make sure that those nerves are being affected. And then we create a lesion in the nerve that is caused by generating a radio frequency wave. And the way that you can think about it is that it causes the outside of the nerve to shrink wrap up. And that nerve will stay that way in most people for about 400 days, and then it opens up again, the nerve starts conducting. So the procedure is a great thing, and it's a bad thing. It's a great thing because it does no permanent damage to the nerve. It's a bad thing because it's not permanent. But right. The patients can come back again when they have the reoccurrence of their pain and have it done again. And as I said, most people get about 400 days of the nerve not conducting with these procedures.
How wonderful. That is really great. That's really important. Can patients who are listening in our audience, do they need a referral from their primary care physician to see you?
We like our patients to be referred in by another physician. We're really not a walk-in facility. We don't accept patients that walk in off the street. So most of our patients are referred by their other doctors for treatment.
Okay. And excuse me. So the patients who have seen their primary care physician or maybe seen their orthopedic doctor, correct?
Correct. We get a lot of referrals from the primary care doctors. We get a lot of referrals from neurosurgeons and orthopedic surgeons. Basically, most of these patients that have these chronic pains, their doctors know about it. You know, they've usually been to an orthopedic surgeon. They've had some treatment with physiatrists. And they continue to have their pain, and they get referred in eventually.
So we have a caller. Welcome, caller.
Hi.
Hi.
You answered one of my questions, which was whether or not you needed a referral. But I have another question.
Thank you for calling. What's your question?
My question is, would Dr. Valente recommend seeing him before you agreed to surgery?
Okay, Dr. Valente. Okay, caller. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for listening to the show. I'll let Dr. Valente answer that.
So this is a great question, and we run into this very frequently. My feeling about this is that when you see your surgeon, most surgeons will want you to do everything that you can do to try what we would consider conservative care before proceeding to surgery. All the surgeons know that what they do is a life-changing event for you. And I would tell you that most of our surgeons will actually send their patients for injections before they try surgery. And the reason for that is if they see something that is amenable to injections, they would suggest it. If they see you for something that obviously they think, you know, this is going to destroy your nerve. If you don't get some treatment for this, you may be paralyzed. You may never walk again. They're going to suggest immediate treatment. And if surgical
Correct.
Decompression will fix that, then you have to go with that. Most of the time, though, the surgeons will send them in for patients in for injections to try to prevent the surgery from happening. So one of the things we like to do with our education is we really want to educate patients that we're not the last people on their stop. We would like to see patients early, try to prevent them from having the surgery if it's something that can be done. So it's important to try to get to us before, you know, a lot of our patients are post-surgery. So we like to see the patients before to try to prevent that surgery. But if you go to your surgeon and he tells you you need surgery, I'm sure that that's not because he feels like operating that day, but because you need to have something fixed that won't be fixed otherwise. So yes, I'd like to see patients earlier before they have surgery if we can prevent them from having the surgery. But if your surgeon tells you you need surgery, he's not telling you that because he feels like doing something today. He's doing that because he feels he really needs to do something to help you.
I think that's a great, great way to say it. You know, again, that's part of prevention is that if you can do something that's simple first, why go to the big guns, correct?
Correct, absolutely. And a lot of times, you know, the patient will say, well, is there anything else I can do? And usually there is. And so we end up seeing a vast amount of patients on referral from their surgeons to try to help to prevent them from going on to that.
That's great. So what percentage do you think go on to, is it higher, lower?
Well, it's really hard for us to generalize and say that because we can't tell who went on to surgery.
Okay.
You know, if they do well, they don't go on to surgery. If they return to their surgeon, there's also a great amount of procedures that we do that are diagnostic for pre-op testing. So if a surgeon thinks that you have a certain nerve root that's being compressed, they may send you to us to go in and inject a local anesthetic around this nerve root to see if it takes away your pain, thereby confirming their opinion that that's the problem and that if they decompress that nerve, you'll get good results rather than just hoping that's the problem. So we do see a lot of patients that come in for diagnostic type of procedures and planning for surgery.
That's really great to know too, because, you know, not only do you do intervention to take care of the pain problem, then you can localize, and if you can help it, and if not, then like you said, you're giving more information to the surgeon. That's really great. That's really great. Jen, you were going to say something?
Well, I was going to go back to the spinal cord stimulation. Something that's a really interesting thing that we do here in the office is before a patient will receive the spinal cord stimulator, they're able to test drive it. We do a trial to see if this is going to be something that the patient wants. And with any surgery, I mean, you can't test drive your knee replacement or your hip replacement. So it's pretty amazing that we're able to let the patient test drive the spinal cord stimulator before we put the permanent one in. So it's really neat.
And the permanent one is surgically implanted, correct?
Right, correct. What happens is if I see a patient that I think is a good candidate for this implantation or dorsal column stimulation, what I'll do is a trial run for them. And what that involves is coming in, going into our little surgical procedure room, and we put a needle in place and pass the electrodes into the dorsal column of the spine. And then we basically tape it to the skin and hook it up to a generator, and they wear it on the outside. And what they do is for 3 to 5 days, they go about their normal activities and see how they like it. Does it do for them what they want? And I feel very strongly when I talk to my patients about this, it's not a matter of does it relieve your pain, but it's a matter of does it do what you want it to do? And so, you know, an example of that is if you have lower extremity pain from back surgery, what we consider a failed back, I pretty much can tell you that I can keep that pain under control with this device. But what I can't tell you is once that pain's under control, can you really do the things that you want to? Okay. So when I see a patient for this, it's not just a matter of asking him, did your pain go away? But does this device let you do what you want to do?
Right.
So, you know, is it that you want to be able to walk to the mailbox without pain? Do you want to be able to walk around the neighborhood without pain? Does it do that? Because you have to make sure that it's not just that it takes your pain away, but it lets you do more. The point for this is to restore function. It's not just to alleviate the pain. So the
quality of life.
Correct. Correct. So this 3 to 5 day trial lets the patient assess, is this something that's great for them? And, you know, I can usually tell when a patient really likes it because they'll come back in, they're all smiles, they'll tell you, I'd like to have this implanted right away. So what happens is after that 3 to 5 day trial, we have the patient come back to the office, we pull little leads out of their back and put a Band-Aid on it. And then if they're going ahead, what we do is we plan for them to have this procedure or this mechanism implanted. And so implanted sounds terrible, but basically what happens is there's a very small incision about an inch long that's made in the skin, in the low back and thoracic region, and another about inch and a half incision that's made usually in the buttocks. And what happens is we pull the skin apart and we put the electrodes in once again through needles.
Okay.
And then bury it under the skin, sew the skin back up, and it's hooked up to a little generator that's like a pacemaker that we put under the skin too. Once this is done, this whole mechanism is completely buried under the skin. You can go out and swim, you can go out and do whatever you want. There's no contraindication to any of that. It can't be seen from outside the skin.
How long does it last?
Well, right now the batteries usually last about 10 years.
Oh, that's
so
good.
On patients that do this, you know, they can look forward to having the battery replaced, which is an extremely simple procedure, somewhere between 5 and 10 years.
And it's pretty neat. The remote control has a bunch of different programs on it. So depending on, you know, what's bothering them that day, whether it's their back, because sometimes there's multiple issues going on. So there's different programs that the patient can utilize with the spinal cord stimulator. It's pretty
right.
neat.
It's an interesting technology because instead of having a remote for your TV, you have a remote for yourself.
And you can turn it on and off.
I was going to say
and
something
don't let
else.
Your husband
I'm not going
it.
There. That's really good. That's really good. So Let's see what's our take-home message. I think it's so important to know, first of all, that there's interventional pain specialists, that our audience needs to know that. That you, again, if you're having pain and you've seen a surgeon, that a lot of times they refer the patient to you so that they can wait or hold off on surgery, correct?
Correct. And also, you know, the problems that we see are not always surgical. You know, just because you have arthritis in the dorsal column of the spine doesn't mean that you're going to have surgery on it. Most people have to live with that arthritis. And, you know, we see those patients to try to restore their function. So they're not surgical candidates. And there are a lot of other things that we treat. We treat acute herpes zoster, which is shingles, usually in a patient that has an outbreak of shingles. We do injections to try to prevent them from going on to the terrible post-herpetic neuralgia.
Yes.
So those are patients that we see. We see multiple different types of things. It's not always a patient that's a surgical problem, but it can be patients that have other types of problems.
A lot of patients complain of fibromyalgia, and I know that's, have you dealt with that? I know it's hard because it's diffuse.
Right. Nowadays, fibromyalgia is usually dealt with by people who specialize in fibromyalgia, and we do have some people in town who deal exclusively in fibromyalgia. And that's more of a problem that's taken care of by a rheumatologist than what we do.
Because a lot of patients will complain about that. So, and a lot of patients also, like you said, who maybe are not candidates because of other medical problems. At least they can have an intervention to help with their pain. They, you know, even if they need to have surgery, they may have other medical problems that they, it's contraindicated.
Correct. And those are patients that usually we can do what we can to try to help them. It's not that we can be 100% successful, but we try our best to get patients back to their function. And I'll usually tell a patient that, you know, I will do my best for them, but I can't guarantee them anything. And so patients appreciate that. They like to be told the truth. They don't want to be told, you know, absolutely, I'm going to fix you up. You're going to be great. And they become disappointed if you can't. So having realistic expectations is a very important part of what we do as the treatment for the patient. We don't want to tell everybody, you know, you're going to be like you were 16 at 16. We're going to tell them we're going to try to help you. We'll do what we can to, but we have to have realistic expectations in what we can do.
I think that's very important, you know, going back. And I really want to thank our caller, too. Tell us again, Jen, how, where you're located, and I think that's really important.
Yes, we're located right on Cochrane Boulevard. It is directly across from Kohl's, Southwest Florida Pain Center. We got a great big sign out there. We also have a convenient location in Punta Gorda, which is on Olympia Ave at the Rivera building. So we consult patients there. All of our procedures are done at our main office, which is on Cochrane Boulevard. Again, we're on Facebook, www.painmanagement.org, and you can always call the office. We, you know, welcome any kind of questions. Our staff is very helpful. The number to the office
have another caller.
Oh, all right.
Hi, caller.
Hello. I enjoy your program. I'd like to ask Dr. Valenti, with, like you said, he tries to help most of the patients, but you don't have an unrealistic expectation, and I understand that. But I'd like to know, could there be any risk to having these injections or the other treatments that he was talking about?
Absolutely. Good questions.
Very good. And thank you, caller.
Yes. So with any type of treatment, there's always possible risks. You know, patients will come in frequently and tell me, I heard this story, I heard that story. Really, as with any treatment, you really have to discuss it with your physician, and you should be educated as to what the possible risks, side effects, and complications are. And that with all my patients, I really like to discuss that ahead of time. Everything from a simple vaccination to a dental procedure all have risks. We like to minimize the risks, and we like to educate our patients as to what the risks are. It's important that a patient look at the risk and compare it to how uncomfortable they are and what they feel like they have to do. And I may see a patient who tells me, well, you know, I really don't know if I want to do that. And I'll tell them, you know, absolutely, you know, when you're ready to do it, if you feel that you need to do it, then we'll go ahead and do it. But yes, obviously, with any type of procedure, there's always risk related to the procedure itself, the medications, and how you react to the procedure.
And you know, and that's what makes it interesting, too, because, you know, I tell my patients, what works for you may not work for the next person or the next person. And we can't always 100% judge exactly how each person is going to react. But we can look at the overall statistics and say, if I give you this medication or if this procedure, statistically, it has a 80% chance of getting better. Or if I give you medication, there's a 30 to 40% chance that we can prevent a heart attack and stroke. So I think that people need to put that into context. And I always tell patients, which maybe is veering off the path, I can't really think of any medicine. Well, no, I guess that is as bad as a cigarette. So I tell patients, there's no medicine I'm going to give you that's going to be as bad as a cigarette. Unless, you know, that's one of, I try to put things into perspective because smoking is so bad for your health. And I also want to say part of any procedure or any illness is attitude. You know, I'm sure I've had patients who walk in and they have, for example, a metastatic cancer or disease that we know is ending, going to be ending their life. But yet they're like the Energizer Bunny. I'm happy. I'm going to fight this. I'm not going to stop. You see that too, don't you, Dr. Valenti?
We see this all the time. And, you know, attitude is very important. No matter what your condition is, if you have a positive attitude, you tend to do better. Not only do you do better, but you also accept what's going on better. So it's a very important thing. We like our patients to have a very realistic expectation. And we feel that, you know, people who really understand their problem do much better. And we take a lot of time explaining to the patients what their problem is and how it relates to what their dysfunction and what their pain is, which is very important because a lot of times patients will understand what their problem is, and it really enlightens them as to how to help themselves.
Correct. I think that's so important. If people really, and again, this is the mission of this program, is I want people to understand different diseases, different problems, and who could help them, like an interventional pain specialist that can go in and get to the root of the cause.
Right. Well, we hope that we can do that for most of our patients. It's very important for us to understand what's causing the pain to be able to treat it. So we have a very full diagnostic procedures that the patients come in and are worked up. And before we start any type of treatment, we like to know what we're treating. And if that involves sending them for procedures such as MRIs, CAT scans, EMGs, things like that, we get all that done before we proceed with our therapy.
And most insurances will take care of this, correct?
That is correct. Most insurances cover this. These are not unusual procedures. These are very, very standard procedures across the country.
That's great. That's great to hear. And it's great to know that we have this right here in Charlotte County. Now, you also have a partner, right, Dr. Ball?
I do. Dr. Robert David Ball. He's been absolutely wonderful. We've been together for about 3 years now. He's brought a bunch of new technology with him. He's brought the latest training. As I said, he just came out of his fellowship a few years ago, trained at a very prestigious facility, and he's been great here in town. He's really brought with him the newest and the latest and greatest that's available, things that weren't available when I trained 25 or 28 years ago.
That's really good. That's really good. And Jen, and you have a Jen there to help promote. Are we almost to the end? Oh, boy, we're almost at the end. Oh, my goodness, time flies when you're having fun. I want to thank Dr. Skip Valenti from, tell us again where you're at. I know, but go ahead. Southwest
Florida Pain Center.
Right, correct.
And the phone number.
Thank you very much.
We didn't get that just in case they needed it, 627-9095. And just call us with any questions.
Or see us on Facebook.
Yes. That's right.
That's right. And this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. And remember, stay healthy. This is the Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. God bless. Thank you.
WCCF Punta Gorda.
News Radio 1580.
Charlotte County's only news talk radio station, serving you around the clock.